Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Watch me while I come alive. You know this is the day that the Lord has made. Brand new, never been used before. Amen. Praise God. Welcome to another blessed, exciting training day. Amen. Where the Lord is blessing us right now. Amen. Giving honor to Jesus Christ. Amen. Who is the head of my life, his Father, the Lord God, Jehovah, and the blessed Holy Ghost, our keeper, comforter. Amen. Pastor O, my producer, and his blessed wife. Amen. And all the saints and friends that run for Christ. Amen. And I'm a man on Calvary Christian Center. Amen. Bless y'all. Amen. Amen. Word of faith. Amen. Word of life. Amen. Action in God. Hallelujah. I just thank God for all the blessed saints and friends. Amen. That are listening here throughout the world. You know, it's such a privilege. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Giving out, I just have to give a shout out to my pastor, Bishop Keith Butler. Amen. He's been a blessing to my life. Amen. He's a word miner. You know, he digs in the word and pull it out. And I just thank God for him and his blessed wife for the marvelous work they're doing. Amen. And all the saints and friends I have at Word of Faith, you know, we had a blessed event. You know, Sunday, for the second time, Bishop announced that we're going to have a special prayer session. Amen. And that's when God calls it. Amen. Because it's war, and that's what we're going to be talking about some of today. And it's amazing how the saints just started shouting a war cry. You know, that we are going to battle, amen, victoriously against the devil. Amen. Let us go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for such a marvelous privilege to be able to come before you. We thank you, Jesus, for the blood you shed, the price you paid to give us this privilege. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for keeping us, blessing us, guiding us, and leading us. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Father God, we're asking that you bless each and every one of us, Lord. Bless us more with the spirit of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be further enlightened, that we will better know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in us, the great and exceeding power you've made available to those of us that submit and obey you. Amen. Lord, those bless those that are yet still dealing with bereavement. Amen. Comfort them as only you are the only one that can heal the brokenhearted. Bless us with the knowledge of your will. Give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we can be fruitful in every good work approved of you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you, Lord. We ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people that which you would have me to say, and let it be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we're going through, we're dealing with agony and ecstasy, but it's the continuing of how and why to be led of the Spirit. And as I have said repeatedly, that's the only way God expects us to live. That's what this is all about. See, for some people, well, there are people, I have a friend that's an ongoing college student. I'm the same way. Matter of fact, I've just enrolled again. You never stop learning. And you can't stop learning this life that has been developed by an omniscient God. There's no way for you to know it all. There's no way for you to have reached that place where you know it all. Because if you can't fly, walk on water, you know, walk through a wall without tearing a hole in it, you don't know it all, because this is what we are learning. But before God can give such power to a person, he needs to know that they understand, one, he alone is God. He alone is God. And that his way is the right way. And if you've been here any time, if you can read and write and hear, you know that there are people out there that think that there's no one way. There's one. God don't need, listen, the average household has one leader in it. and everybody don't, I know the household I grew up in, you didn't get to have your own way, and it wasn't that way in my household. So why would God have a thousand, a million different ways? You know, there's no logic to that. That, to me, that's average. That ain't God, you know. and they misjudge how he does things because they haven't read his word. But that's because they don't seek him. He doesn't have to really seek us. He didn't have to. See, listen, because my father went and got my mother pregnant, God wasn't beholden to that even because my father's, everybody's father was had a requirement, best I can come up with right now, to seek God about every decision they make. To just assume that what they were doing was all right, you know, and then we end up here, then they only know to give us that which they know. When all along God has put down in writing, and I'm confident about the Bible. Well, one, I'm confident in because God introduced himself in a great way to me, and he does it with people that praise him. He does that with submission. He does that because you don't have to praise him. You know, I posted on Facebook the 3-minute, 7 days a week praise challenge, you know. And I was amazed the first time I posted it that they deleted it. So somebody at Facebook deleted it. I mean, completely removed it, see. And even if it was a hacker, so the second time I posted it with a guarantee, with a curse on it. If they removed it, they would have no blessings. Because, you know, that's something people need. See, what this world don't realize, see, people want to be like kids all the time. That's what it is. See, the Bible interrupts that. It disturbs it. That's part of what Paul is talking about. Let's read what Paul, let's get into this, because, see, what Paul is talking about here in Romans chapter 7 is how his life got interrupted. Now, you got to know a little bit, let me give you up a little bit about Paul's history. He was a Pharisee. He was Jewish. I mean, he was well-to-do. And let's read what he's saying here. Let's go back over this. Now, I'm reading from the NIV. And you know what? Yeah, give me a second. I want to read this from the Amplified, because this here requires study, and because it's you have to remember, everyone when they come to Christ go through a cultural change. Doesn't matter what your nationality is, it's your behavior. Your culture was your behavior before you came to Christ. What you were taught, what you grew up with. Even if you grew up with wolves in the jungle, you had a culture. If it was that which was taught by wolves, okay. But what Paul is talking about here is the revelation. Now, being a Pharisee, he knew what had been written by as the law, okay. But he's talking about what the law couldn't do and didn't do. But it says in verse 14, it says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am a creature of the flesh, worldly, self-reliant, carnal, and unspiritual, sold into slavery to sin and serving under its control. For I do not understand my own actions. I am baffled and bewildered by them. I do not practice what I want to do. But I am doing the very thing I hate and yielding to my human nature, my worldliness, my sinful capacity. Now, if I habitually do what I do not want to do, that means I agree with the law, confessing that it is good and morally excellent. Now, if that is the case, then it is no longer I who do it, the disobedient thing which I despise, but the sin nature which lives in me. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh, my human nature, my worldliness, my sinful capacity. For the willingness to do good is present in me, but the doing of good is not. For the good that I want to do, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want to do, I am no longer the one doing it. That is, it is not me that acts, but the sin nature which lives in me. So I find it to be a law of my inner self that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully delight in the law of God for my inner self with my new nature. But I see a different law and rule and action in the members of my body, in its appetites and my desires, waging war against the law of my mind and subduing me and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is within my members. Wretched and miserable man that I am, who will rescue me and set me free from this body of death, this corrupt mortal existence? Thanks be to God for my deliverance through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind serve the law of God, but on the other, my flesh, my human nature, my worldliness, my simple capacity, I serve the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no guilty verdict, no punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus, who believe in him as personal Lord and Savior. And I like really what the King James said in there, who walk not after the flesh. That's the key phrase. Now, I want to go back up through this. One of the things you have to understand is that Paul is not, like I say, throwing in the towel and declaring a weakness and a submission to his nature. Now, he's speaking to the Roman church. So he's illustrating the cultural change that you go through and how, you know, even though you know the law, there's more than 10 commandments. A commandment is an order given without option. That's a commandment, particularly a commandment that says, and the Lord said, when you read in the Old Testament. There are a lot, from what I understand, I've heard two different counts, you know how theologians are, from 18 to 2,000 commandments. Then you got the New Testament. Okay, going to church is a commandment. Okay, that's in Hebrews 10:25. It's a commandment. Do this. It don't give you an option. It don't say if or let if you think so. It means do this. It say go. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Why? The purpose of the church is the institution of education in the things and the ways of God. It wasn't designed to be a religious event. There's no call for a religion in both the Old and the New Testament. God never told anybody to start a religion. He told men to teach about him. He would speak to specific individuals, and they would give the message and the revelation to the men, and the men would teach it to their families. That's how it was done back then. That's how it should be done now. This is what a church is supposed to do, not just there to. Church ain't really there. I mean, they encourage you. Encouragement is great, but that's not its primary function. It really is to prepare you for this life. See, man wants to do it on his own, and this is what Paul is saying. In the flesh, without God, you're headed to hell because you have your own perception of what this life is about. And this is what Paul was saying. He said when he discovered the law, what the law does is show you, it turns the light on. That's why people don't like the church. That's why people don't like, they don't like right now. They don't like the fact, see, listen, the church did not write the law and decide that homosexuality was a sin. God did. Why? Because he wants a family, and two men can't give him a family. Two women can't give him a family. That's his logic. So the fact of the matter is, you can't change God. You can change all the rules, regulations, laws, and attitudes you want, but you can't change God because the reality is still going to be the same. Now, I realize for a fact, knowing with some research, and you know, I don't know how accurate and true the research is, but there are different, so a variety of reasons now why people become homosexual, particularly in this day and age. I ain't gonna say I'm very, very in depth in knowledge about subliminal information, subliminal messaging. I know how it works, and I do know that it is being utilized. Then there is the scientific aspect of what I've read, where they are putting chemicals in the food to cause men to desire men. And again, the people behind this want to decrease the population. That's an ongoing thing that I found out in the 70s, okay? Back in the 70s, they really didn't want the world population to get past a billion. But the point of the matter is who's behind them? Satan. That's what's behind that. Because he's frustrated by the fact that God is God and he's not. That's really what's behind it. So now what Paul is talking about, the law, he said the law is spiritual. Now, we're going to go to the context for today, okay, which is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Because you got to understand the battle. It does not matter. The perpetrator that Satan uses is irrelevant. The issue is what is Satan up to? And he's up to deprive you of your power, of your prosperity, of your life, of your hope, of your joy, of your peace. And you have to be on guard about him, because if you ignore him, you're not going to win. You know, I know a person, they was having problems with a person on their job, and they just got tired of that person, and so they got into a fight, which led to them being fired. Okay, they fought, they got what they thought off their chest, but then they had another issue. How you going to pay your rent? See, that's what the devil was after. See, I mean, now you got, you know, they struggling, but they, you know, to pay their rent, buy groceries, food, when the fact of the matter is you cannot lose consciousness of the fact that we are in a spiritual battle. All right? Now, this is Paul dressed in the Corinthians church. The Corinthians was like Detroit or Ecos, for that matter. You know, it was a challenge, because you're coming from a Gentile. Again, like I said, you're coming from a different culture into the culture of God. You're coming from the kingdom of man into the kingdom of God, while you're yet on earth dwelling amidst those that are in the kingdom of man. And those in the kingdom of man have a different perception of life and how to resolve issues than we do, but they're not at the present headed toward the lifestyle that we're going to have permanently. You have to remember, this life, all these different aspects, all these differences, and all these different mindsets are going to be ended when Jesus returns. It will be his rule. It will be a theocratic rule, his way or no way at all. And he'll know in advance who's going to do his will and who's not. You can't fool him. You can't fool him. So it doesn't matter. But the point of the matter is, you're here. Why not take the best in? See, being saved, being Christian, walking in Christ does not mean you live a life of a boring, totally boring life. You can, 1 Timothy 6:17, the B portion is, it says he's given the phrase, it says he's given us all, God has given us all things to enjoy. So you can have a boat. You can go travel. God will help you get things done that you think you can't get done on your little meager pay. He'll teach you some things if you will yield to him, because the process in him getting it done will teach you how to utilize your faith, power of his word, to get all things that you need. See, I mean, this is the whole point. God wants unity between you and him. Remember, always remember that God, between you and God, is one-on-one. Okay, it's one-on-one. Now, I'm gonna skip the verse 3, because I don't want to get withdrawn from what Paul is actually talking about, but it still applies, because this affects every part of life. It says, though we walk in the flesh, I'm reading from the KJV first, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war, after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay? The anointed one and his anointing. I don't think there's much difference between that and the NIV, but I'm going to read it anyhow, because it'll give a little clarity. So though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Now, this is not talking about Afghanistan, okay? The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take to make it obedient to Christ. See, now, again, during that time, they had the different challenges. Again, some of the same issues that we have now. Because of the culture, because of the governments, you know, certain groups of people were denied economic opportunity. And see, the typical thing back then was to just go to war, which, you know, I mean, like now, we protest, we march, and that doesn't change the devil. I looked at all the protests that went on, and then that went on last year, and the devil doing the same thing. You know, I was looking at today, another police officer got killed, another young man that got killed. See, if you're focusing on the flesh, you're going to get fleshly results. That is not going to end the battle. Now, you do have to take some physical steps, but even though those steps should be that which are recommended by the Holy Spirit, because you want to be fruitful in your effort. You know, I mean, I'm a bypass what I was getting ready to say, but I'll put it like this: the Civil Rights era. Now, in the background, what people don't know and didn't hear was somebody that knew how to pray. That's been the situation in every situation. I'm convinced of that, and I'll know for sure when the day come, when Jesus come back, the rapture come, you know. But I looking at how things happen. Matter of fact, just to give you a view of what goes on in the spirit realm with prayer, let us go to the book of Acts, chapter 12, and I think we're going to start at verse 7. And this was at the beginning of Christianity. And, okay, and now you got to, this is at Christianity at its infancy, all right? Now, but what I want you to focus on, because there's a lot of moving parts when it comes to praying. But the fact is, this prayer worked then like it works now. So this is just designed for you to see what goes on in the background. There's lots of events in the Bible that shows what goes on in the spirit realm, because that's the most significant realm. If you gain control of the spirit realm, you've won the battle. It says, I'm going to start at verse 1. Now, this is what they were going through. We think we be going through something, and the people now, they are going through some changes, but they fighting a war. They fighting the devil, you know, is what they say, and they throwing water at water. It says, now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. Notice that they pick on the church. And it ain't, you know, it ain't like Christianity was the only religion about around then. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers, four squads. That's the British. Amen. Intending after Easter, note that Easter didn't just start in America. After Easter, to bring him forth to the people. If you want to find out what Easter and Passover is, the same thing. Anyway, it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Okay? And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping, that shows you how concerned he was sleeping between two soldiers bound in chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. That's how deep asleep he was. He had to shake him and raise him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off. Angels got some awesome power. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. A man sleep between two guys. He's just in sneezing and knocked out snoring. Ain't even got his shoes on. He ain't worried about all. That's the blessedness of being saved. Live, you blessed. Die, you blessed. Amen. Paul later on talked about that. You know, so anyway, and so he did, and he said, son, cast thy garment on and follow me. And he went out and followed him and knew not that it was true which was done to him, because he thought it was a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came upon the iron gate that leadeth out unto the city, which opened unto them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hands of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered one thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. No, what's going on there? Peter knocked on the door, and a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda, and when she knew Peter's voice, she just took off and ran in and told everybody, and then told them that Peter was there. Now, the thing that I want you to take note of is that they were praying consistently. Now, one of the benefits of now, it's challenging. I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to get too deep into this because I got a variety of people, but people wonder about praying in the spirit, praying in tongues specifically, allows you to benefit to pray a lot longer without having full revelation and knowledge of specifically what needs to be done, because the Holy Spirit, if you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, is actually doing the praying, is just using your lips. The way prayer, God set it up. Now, understand, God wants us to learn how to utilize his power. So we're fighting a spiritual battle. So you have to engage. When you're praying, you are engaging the activity, as you saw, of angels. Now, as you become aware of this more frequently, you can, at will, command angels. Now, there are defensive moves of angels. There are offensive moves of angels, but you would have to be in a certain state. You don't have to hold a certain office. But I have a series on seven rules that cause prayer to fail. And the fact of the matter is, if you're trying to live like God wants you to, this is the thing. If you're living like God wants you to, but particularly if you're making an effort to be sensitive to the voice of God, he will share with you these things. God will. That's how we learned this. Some things you study the word, but to go deeper, to get access to the power of God, you're going to have to tune yourself into God, because people don't, you know, even though we deal, every time lately I've been thinking a lot about how great God is. How great the whole, you know, because we can't do the things that we know that can be done. We tend to not think that we don't have that access to that power. But again, I can imagine what the earth would look like if God had let even 10% of the population fully utilize the power that they actually have. I mean, look at what people are doing now with guns. And look at how they're killing each other with guns. I mean, Chicago, it ain't just so for the fact that it ain't even legal to have a gun in Chicago, but look at what they're doing with them. God cannot give them people mountain moving power. If they that evil with a gun, what would they do if they could speak and move a mountain? They'd level Chicago under threat. There'd be a bunch of extortioners. I know it seems so. I don't know, I can't think of the word, so out there, so ominous, so great. But you really have to get this. And the thing about it is, God uses the format of prayer to help us understand that we do have power. And what does prayer work? In the spiritual realm, you got to go past our Father who art in heaven. Okay, that's a recital. OK, okay? That's not how you get things done. That's not how you protect your children. Right now, you know, people send their kids to school. I used to harp about that on Facebook. Don't send your kids to school without commanding angels. But then there's a lot of, like I said, there's the other aspect. Angels, if you're a householder, if you're a disruptor in your household, okay, you arguing with your husband and you don't settle it, and you arguing with your wife and you don't settle it, you can give a command to angels and they won't obey. See, a lot of that's another thing I found, that a lot of people probably think that a lot of this don't work because they want it to work under their condition. It ain't going to happen that way. Never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever, never, ever. So people can argue and debate over issues, like one particular issue. The Bible tells you in Malachi chapter 3 that if you don't tithe, you curse with a curse. I mean, so what? So ain't no angel. They have an accountability to God. All these things comes into play. And this is why I see people doing all these old shifty, shady stuff, Christians doing shifty, sad, doing shifty, shady stuff, trying to prove they're blessed, when the fact of the matter is, they are not doing what God said he wanted them to do, how he wanted them to do it, when he wanted to do it. All that comes into play when you want to access the power of God. Okay. Are you getting something from this? Because right now, look at this situation. I have no concern about this COVID thing. Zero. You know, I wasn't concerned. When they started talking about the shot, I knew where we was going. I knew this was going to be, basically, this is a dry run for the Antichrist system. And anybody that can't see that, where the government is going to take over and force you, and if you don't do what they say, you're not going to be able to work. Look at that. People losing their jobs. You're not going to. So if you can't work, you can't buy food, you can't eat, you can't enjoy life unless you do. The government has had this delusion of being God for the longest. But again, that's because who's behind it? Matter of fact, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. I was going there anywhere. So you can see what's going on. See, again, like I said, so Paul, when he was talking about this spiritual warfare, see, all the reason why, and I want to go back and look at some of that. We got plenty of time here. It's because of what's on the background. See, but anyway, here, this is another insight into the spiritual realm. It's a frequently quoted scripture. Amen. Finally, Ephesians 6, chapter verse 10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." That's why I say you can't win this battle. You can't win this battle. You can't win this battle without reading the Word of God. Now, what Paul intimates in Romans chapter 7, so I'm going back there, is that the knowledge of the law will not make you do right. You know, it just reveals when you do wrong. It doesn't give you the strength to do right. It only condemns you when you do wrong. So, and I've seen this in people. You know, earlier in my life, when I the first church I was at, a member of, as a young minister, everybody had specific assignments, you know, and one of mine was to visit the mental health facility that was located in the area. It was a hospital, and it became interesting. You know, I would be, when I first went in there, you know, I noticed that, you know, they send you with a senior minister, and the thing is, that you begin to listen to all the conversation of these people, and you would hear how familiar they are with the Word of God. And that was shocking to me, because I'm like, if you know this much, why are you here? But see, a lot of people find themselves it makes a difference where you go to church, because some churches bind the people in sin, and this is why you see all these rituals of penitence and all this stuff that ain't in the Bible, because they sin conscious. And this is what Paul is talking about, being sin conscious. And see, when you come into Christ, you be Christ conscious. There's a distinction. You come power conscious, the authority to overcome the sin. You don't have to listen. When I talked earlier about subliminal programming, the one thing about subliminal programming, you don't have to agree with it, just like anything else. Anything comes to your mind, you can disagree with. See, what people agree with is what pleases the flesh. It says, and I'm reading in Romans, again, back to chapter 7, NIV. It says, now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Now, that came when Adam sinned. That got let out the bag when Adam sinned. It just became part of our nature once you got here. You notice that you do not have to teach children to lie. You have to teach them to tell the truth. You don't have to teach them not to take what don't belong to them. You have to teach them to respect other people's property. It's in their nature, even how they try to manipulate. Notice how when they're a baby and they can't even talk and they're laying down and they figured out real quick that they can get your attention by hollering and screaming. That's in the sin. That shows you something. There's an inherited nature. It's part of the DNA. I wish I was a medical professional. There's a description. Okay, you can read a little bit about it. It's called epigenetics. It's how we impact each other. This is the other aspect. See, this is in there. You know, again, I refer to a statement that it was made by a college professor back in the 70s that what it takes God to run the universe is what it takes us to run the body. You got so many different components in it, so many different. The cellular structures of the body are so immense, and we have to learn to control this, because once you are outside this body, the level of power is off the charts. And God is holding us accountable for two things, loving him and loving our neighbor. Ain't that interesting? All the entire Bible, Jesus said, all that's written is hung on them two commandments. Love God with your heart, mind, and soul, and all that's within you, and to love your neighbor like you love yourself. That's the word agape love, okay? So it's there. So it's this battle that's ongoing. And don't get discouraged when you don't win every battle. You're not going to win every battle. You're not going to win. And as you grow longer, the odds are going to be stacked against you. But you remember 1 John 4:4 said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. For you to get the revelation, the only way you can get that revelation is for you to take on the greater challenge. For some of us, the greater challenge is just sitting and being quiet when in our mind we just want to say something because we know we're right. But that is not the issue of being right. The issue is being right with God, because God will. And then there's the wisdom. You know, when your mouth is open, your ears ain't. That's, you know, your ears are technically, but the point I'm trying to make is sometimes you can hear more than you think when you just sit and listen, because there's a motive for a person saying something, particularly in relationships, even with children. You really, you know, one of my youngest son once, he said something to me that struck me, you know, and you can do that as a parent. And he said, you don't listen. You know, and it is, you know, when you come from a culture where children don't have a right to speak, where they say the children ought to be seen and not heard, that's how I was raised, That gets part ingrained in you. But the reality is I also knew that communication, which is a two-way operation, would have been a better way. See, because oftentimes we as parents, we know what's down the road. They don't think we know because they see where they want to go, but we already know that there's certain blocks and events or hurdles that they don't see, you know, because they see where they want to go, but they don't see that the manhole cover is off the sewer, and then if they keep going that direction, they're gonna drop down in it. And you as a parent hate to let them go, but you know what? If it's not life-threatening, sometimes you have to let them. You're going to have to let them make a mistake anyway. But the key factor is to give them the information they need. And it's challenging. You know, you should have Bible studies with your children. They should not be out there not having to be able to have to make a decision without information of making the decision. You know, they should know. I mean, you can't, especially when they start becoming teenagers. They should know what the Bible says concerning sex because you know their body is yearning. Yours was. Why act like they ain't? And then they're in an environment, and the parent these days have to be mindful of it. When you got 9-year-olds with cell phones that have internet access, and you know, you can do all the blockish things, they know how to override that. You have to tell them the truth because Satan is after their anointing. He's after their anointing as a child. He don't want them to grow up to be the best CEO that ever has been. You know, it's something now. You know, I wish I had known, but to be spiritually aware and running a company and knowing that you can bring God into its operation to make the company prosperous, where you can pay your employees like it was when I was growing up. The janitor made a living wage. Everybody else made more. The more you knew, the more you got paid, okay? The more you could contribute to the growth of the company, the more you got paid. Now there's been this greed factor that have taken over, that came about in the late 70s, and businesses have struggled ever since. And then they've been, because they likewise are being attacked by the devil. The laws of giving apply to a company. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom. I remember this, listening to this confession. Testimony of this guy that had a business. At the time, he wasn't saved, and his wife was. And his business was really struggling. So he talked his partner into tithing the business. And now, mind you, look how good God is, because God wins with love. And their business began to grow, which brought him to a reality. If it works this good and I'm not saved, how much better would it be if I get saved? How much better would it be if I learn how God does business? You know, Abraham, the Bible says Abraham was very rich. See? And if you go back and you study Abraham, if you read this portion of Scripture in Romans chapter 14, then go back and start, I believe, in Genesis chapter 12 and read about Abraham, and you will see him walk out knowing that, again, you got the cultural change. Coming from a family that believed in multiple gods, into him believing that there was only one God. And then, I mean, he get into situations where this man of faith lies to protect his life, okay? But, you know, it's a process of growth. You know, there are things that they used to get me all the time. But then, and I was heavily discouraged about them. And the Lord said, just give it time. You'll start to notice that there's a time gap, and that's the biggest thing, that there is a time gap. So, you know, I mean, this is what you want to do here. And again, we go back. I want to go back and I want to read because I got new people. And I want you to get this. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, because I want this in your spirit. 2 Timothy 2, right? 2:15, that's totally different. Hallelujah. You know, again, like I say, we're talking. See, now we are 16. Yeah, okay, I want 3:16, but I want 2:15. Okay, this is the key factor. I mean, this is the real. Look at what it says. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Again, see, studying the word, that's the key factor, is because this is how you're able to respond to a situation the way God would have you. It's not possible without knowledge of the word. You won't know to be that the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God if you never read the book of James. You would just go off, as they say, on people. Give them a piece of your mind. Listen, you need all the mind you got. You don't need to be giving nobody a piece of nothing. You need to be trying to get, you need to let this mind, what he said in the Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. See, matter of fact, let's go read that, because that's the key. That's in Philippians chapter 2. You need to understand this is again, I mean, you can, I've seen how that thing work on both sides, okay? I've seen what happened when you try to do it your way. I've experienced what happened when you try to do it your way. And I've experienced what happened when you do it God's way. You know, there's a thing called peace, you know? There's a thing called peace. Hallelujah. All right. It says, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Look at how the process was. Now, he came from heaven. As the song, he came from heaven to earth to show us the way. I mean, he didn't have to go through that. You got to be glad that it was Jesus, because God didn't send Richard. You know, it's something. I tell you, he went through a lot. I mean, first off, look at how good God is. People argue about all that, who Jesus was, but the fact of the matter is, he was what is called a hypostatic union. He was totally God and totally man. When he was on earth, before he died, he was totally man. Even though he had access, he had faith in the fullness, he had the spirit without measure, he had faith without measure, it did not go to his head. And you go back and you read, remember we was reading a few weeks ago, King Ahab, he was king. But he was acting like he was God. He was doing things his way and not God's way. See, even though we're going through some challenges right now, I agree with those that teach that there is a great a level of prosperity coming. Why? Because I have seen Satan use prosperity and do more damage than trial and trouble have ever done. See, trial and trouble make people pray. There's more people praying now than ever prayed because they're in fear. But you take that fear away, and particularly the fear of not having an income. You give them all the money they want. He gonna give them money, drugs, and everything else. He gonna put it out there, and then you will have to make a decision. Look at what is going on now. They sell marijuana candy. And you really need to talk to your kids about that, because as they go back to school, I'm sure that the devil is going to put this out there, and you got to know what the signs are concerning that. Believe me, this is the candy looks like orange slices. I've seen it. It looks like orange slices, little, pretty little sugary colored things, little jelly candy. You got to be aware of what's going on. But the biggest thing about this is you need to have your household full of God. That means you got to be full of God. You need to take, like, you know, I put that praise challenge out there, because this is spiritual war. Praise will fill you with the Spirit of God, which means you have awareness that you normally wouldn't have. You have knowledge you normally wouldn't have. You want to know what your children are doing, you got to stay close to God. You want to be able to pray for your children. You got to line yourself up with the Word of God so that you can be assured that the angels will not be hindered because of you. And God will protect them. God, the angels can remind. He can go with them, and the Holy Spirit will remind them when they see something, how to confront it. If they don't have a word to repel that, you're leaving them handicapped. I experienced that as a child. As a child, you know, I didn't know no word. You know, and as a result, when somebody presented me marijuana, they presented an argument. It grew from the earth. This must be of God. How do you argue that? Okay? It says every good and perfect gift coming from above, not something that destroys your brain cell comes from God. Not something that destroys your organs come from God. Not something that's going to cause you at that time to get incarcerated come from God. It says every good and perfect gift. But if you haven't read the word, you don't have nothing to repel that with. This is necessary. This is what the Bible, you know, somebody made a perfect phrase for it. It says Bible, B-I-L-B-E, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. This is something you want to get in your spirit as we are right now. This COVID thing, that's a spiritual battle. Okay? When they came and when they told us, I knew they were going to get to this place where they were going to force you to get a shot. So I looked for a promise that would protect me. And I found it in Matthew 16:18 and 1 Timothy 4:4. It said 4:5, for it is sanctified with prayer. So I can protect myself with prayer. If I'm in alignment with God, my prayer gonna work. So that's what I use. I mean, before I got the shot, I prayed over it. Lord, I bless you. I commanded anything to present hurt, harm, and danger be removed from this in Jesus' name. I was not embarrassed about it. I wasn't praying loud. Only the nurse was administering the shot was praying. You don't even have to. You can pray it before you even get in there to get the shot. But in order for the promise to work, you just have to do the work. And I mean, come on now, God ain't nitpicking, you know, trying to find everything you do wrong and a reason not to answer, okay? He will answer. But the point of the matter is, you always want to know how to handle the power of God. You want that to be part of your life, because this is the life we are in. Not going to, we're in this life. We're just right now dealing with it as humans. Huge mans, you know, because without the hue, I couldn't see you, all right? So anyway, get into the word now more than ever. This is what it says. We got a minute. I just want to read this in Hebrews 10:25. You know, God shouldn't have to command us to go to church, but he does. Amen. It says, and let us not, this is from the NIV, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day, which is capitalized, approaching. You want to go to church. I don't know, maybe some of y'all go to churches where the pastor don't really teach you nothing. If not, if you living in a downriver area, find your way to Run for Christ Ministries. If you live in the Southfield area, find your way to Word of Faith. But find a church where the Bible is law and the pastor will do what God say do, how he say do. All right, well, with that, I'm going to say right now, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, listen, the one thing about it is people leave. When I went to work in law enforcement, the news report about people that die usually in violent and criminal activity. But I remember one year when 15,000 people in the county that I live in died. Now, most of them, you would say, would be natural causes. A lot of them were unnatural. Tripping down the steps, falling and breaking their neck and dying, slipping in a bathtub, not getting electrocuted. Come to my young people. I mean, all kinds of ways. That's not to mention car accidents. There's so many ways. You want this, God offers us an assurance policy through Jesus Christ Mutual. Mutual is an agreement between you and him, and all you need to do is say this prayer. Lord God, I believe that Jesus is your son and that you sent him to die for our sins, and he died to save me. And I believe that he rose from the dead and is alive right now. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and save me now. And Father God, I ask, amen, and I believe in my heart and say with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And for those that have backslidden, Father God, I ask you for forgiveness, and I ask you to restore me to fellowship and right fellowship with you, and I receive it right now according to your word in Jesus' name. You know, I mean, this life could be it is challenging. But the reason is because the responsibility that we're going to be given in the future, you got to remember, this is not, we're not going to go and just sit down somewhere and that's it for the rest of our life. And you know, them people that think that they're going to sit around and have sex all day with 72 virgins, that's man's thinking. See how man thinks? But anyway, the thing that I want you to remember, that prayer works by faith. Faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. See you next week. Keep me in prayer because I'm taking on some more challenges for the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Be blessed. Amen. Hallelujah.
It's your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxing or action, what you need from him? He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed, and you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty ish, my plug on that heavy ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning, I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming, just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days, then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above, because I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? No need for bucks, all he need is your trust, for you to praise him when you get back up.
Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight, and everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip, but God wrapped his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me, and you could be the same way and have the same faith, but you got a chance. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day, but he's able by the children, man. My God don't play. So was you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky and make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from them above. Because I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust for you to praise him when you get back up.